Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
I think just play hard and smart. Play fast. Try and close quickly in the D zone, especially against a team like Edmonton that's super skilled. Just try and take away their time. Try and eliminate bodies. Make them have to stop and start, not allow them to kind of continue to use their momentum.
In the sunshine of your love.
Welcome back to Hardline 590 Fan and 590fan.com. Thank you all for hanging out with us on this snowy Tuesday afternoon. I am TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey alongside me. John Hadley stepped out, but inevitably he will step back in, probably at the most inopportune time.
He'll crash the party.
You could imagine, yes. Joining us now is our friend, the play-by-play man for your St. Louis Blues, that is Chris Kerber. Kerbs, how are you, sir?
Guys, I'm doing good. How are you today?
Welcome home, buddy.
It's always good to be home. Sometimes those road trips just feel long, don't they?
Yeah, and when you're going good, they can feel long, and when you're not going good, they can feel interminable.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of amazing. You put together a game like you did in Colorado, you know, and we talked prior to that game when I was last on with you guys, and then, you know, and then you come out and absolutely not one aspect of that game was followed up on in the next night, and it's mind-boggling, and what it has is it leaves you questioning. You know, and I was talking to some Edmonton broadcasters there in town. I think Hitch has his team on the ice right now, as a matter of fact. You know, I'm like, I have no idea. I cannot tell you what to expect tomorrow night other than, you know, I'm looking for an energized game because of the competition.
You know, Chris, you know, going back to that Colorado game, I think all of us were enthused by the style, the hitting, and the aggression. I did publicly wonder if it's not in your nature as a group, is it sustainable? Well, I thought it might last more than one game. But if it's not in your nature, maybe that's not the best way to go anyway. But what I can't figure out, and obviously the Blues can't either, what is this team identity? And it's really been a struggle in that regard.
It has. And that's why I'm actually... albeit for the wrong reasons, I actually like the moves that were made yesterday with the call-ups. And I'll start on the defensive side. The way that Jordan Schmaltz is being played defensively and the limited time that he's getting, it's leaving this team too shorthanded in a critical spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's, you know, him not playing consistently enough, whether it's a team, you know, not giving him enough chance, I don't know. Maybe a little bit of mix of both, but you know, whether or not it's Jordan sometimes playing like he's scared to make a mistake rather than just playing hockey. But I've felt for 2 weeks now, going back to that Winnipeg game when Laine scored five, if Jordan Schmaltz in that game is only going to play 3 minutes and 50 seconds in the first period and less than 3 minutes in the second, Chris Butler is going to give you better minutes than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they put Chris Butler in the lineup and he skated on a line with Jay Bouwmeester in practice today, you know exactly what you are going to get. There is some predictability there. You have no doubt what you're going to see from Chris Butler tomorrow. Then on the forward side, I think that same aspect is there with Jordan Nolan. Again, you're calling these guys up because injuries and some long-term IR situations is going to allow you to have them on the roster, you know, versus before where you could not because of the salary cap. But on the forward side, they're bringing up that predictability as well. It's not a fancy game. It's not a game that's going to, you know, razzle and dazzle you. It's a straight-line game, and he's going to hit somebody, and he's going to create some energy from it. And I think putting those two guys in predictability in the lineup tomorrow is going to be beneficial for the Blues.
Kerbs, one of the things we talked about immediately after the press conference of the firing of Mike Yeo was that all of this is going to be an evaluation for Craig Berube. Isn't it pretty tough at this point to start evaluating him when half the best guys are on the shelf?
Yes and no. I mean, injuries are all part of it, so it's what can you get from the guys that you have to deal with. And, you know, yeah, ultimately you're judged in wins and losses, but you're judged by other stuff. You're judged on, okay, what are the practices like? Well, you know, how are you managing the team? What in-game decisions are you making? What changes are you seeing? Are you pulling the right moves at the right time? Are you pushing some of the right buttons with guys? And So I think it's a little bit more than that. So I still think that, yes, I mean, anybody in Craig Berube's situation would like to have a fully loaded lineup, but I still think there's plenty of evaluation tools that can be made with the lineup they have.
We are talking the voice of the St. Louis Blues. That is Chris Kerber on the radio broadcast, KMOX. John Hadley, welcome to the broadcast booth.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We were just discussing all of the new players.
That is the quietest I've ever heard him walk into a room.
Yeah, usually we're knocking over flower pots and coffee cups are kicked around. And yeah.
A little bit of a bowl in a china shop.
Well, let me step in for you, John, while you gather yourself. Chris, you know, you mentioned the injuries, but and it is part of it, but when it comes in a wave like this, it can be a shock to the room, you know, adding injury to insult. And that is something that, but, you know, if you try to be positive and look at the players that come in or players that are already here that step up to increase role, if they embrace it as opportunity and not woe is us, maybe you can make things happen.
You know, remember, here's the thing. At some point in time, somebody's going to have to take that opportunity.
Yeah.
Jordan Smoltz is going to have to take that opportunity. Zach Sanford is going to have to take that opportunity. I'll even go older than that. Colt Parayko and Joel Edmondson are going to have to take that opportunity. Those are the guys that are going to have to step up and play those key roles. And if you're in the National Hockey League and if you're on a team, you want to play those roles. You've got to crave those situations. You've got to say, this is my time. And you hope that that happens. And I think just sometimes lately we've seen far too many benign minutes from guys when those opportunities have been there. And you know, last year, you know, Sammy Blais's consistency wasn't there. Tage Thompson had a heck of an opportunity, didn't take advantage of it. You know, you got Alex DeBrincat in Chicago that's taken every advantage of every opportunity he's given. He's put the puck in the net. And he's become, you know, and we need somebody to do that. And sometimes it's not always the new player, the young player. It could be that third, fourth-year player finding another level. So you're absolutely right. There's plenty of opportunity on this team right now. Who wants it? Who's going to take it? And what are they going to do with it? The other thing sometimes is, you're right, it does add insult to injury when you got to deal with the injuries. Now you feel like you're going in more shorthanded. But I think it also sometimes it might be able to help a team find their center of play the simple game, play just smart hockey, because if you don't, you're going to get killed.
Hey, Curbs, when you talk about people taking advantage of opportunity, there are going to be people who will point to a guy like Kyrou coming up and this, that, and the other thing. I'm just curious, what can you tell us about Jordan Nolan? Because I made one phone call today and got the impression that this is one of those guys that can sort of be a momentum changer. This is one of those guys who'll take the body. This is one of those guys who'll play physical. This is one of those guys who could be an intriguing short-term addition to this hockey team.
Well, I talked to him at training camp about the decision. He drove to St. Louis with his dad. He knows that he had to come in and prove himself. He knows there's a chance that he's going down to the minor leagues, and he did. But he also knows that, hey, I still think I can play in this league. And if he comes into this game with that attitude, it could be helpful. You know, Ken Hitchcock has put what he's calling an identity line together, and it's centered by Kyle Brodziak, and on one side has Milan Lucic, okay? So you know what that's going to put. Even if it rubs Milan Lucic a wrong way a little bit, you know, thinking that he's not that player still, but or you know, he's more than that. But, you know, the reality of it is there's going to be something out there tomorrow, and I think bringing Jordan Nolan into this mix is a good one. Again, I think this lineup had to get some predictability into it. And getting Butler, as I mentioned, and getting Nolan in there, as I mentioned, I think at least fills in some of that predictability where you know what you're going to get. These coaches have got to start to be able to count on guys, you know, and know what is going to show up night in and night out. Otherwise, it ends up being a free-for-all every night.
Curbs, who is the Steam out with a concussion is going to be reevaluated. Obviously, you have Petro out. That, when I think a lot of people think of the team, are your leaders, perhaps your vocal leaders. Who is the guy that is going to take over and sort of show these guys the ropes, all the new guys coming up that are trying to learn to play together?
Oh, I don't think anyone's going to take over. I think the team's going to do what he did, you know, when Alex missed that first game there. And That's no one's going to wear a C. They're going to have some different guys with an A. And, you know, I think they had one on O'Reilly, and I think Colton Parayko wore one. So, you know, look, frankly, I think sometimes some of that who's going to take over, who's going to lead, it becomes a little psycho baloney at some point in time. Because, and TJ, you know this from being in a locker room long enough, a team has a characteristic, you know, a team has a personality, you know, and that's eventually what carries a room. And sometimes, you know, calling some guys on the carpet as a captain or something can be helpful, but it's really the characteristic of a team that takes over. And that's part of the opportunity that's here. I mean, do they want to figure out what characteristic they have as a team? And I'm not sure that even the guys in the locker room have an answer to that question.
Curbs, do you have any thoughts, any opinions on Seattle joining the NHL?
No, I think we knew that this was coming for a while. I never really bought all the talk that it could be Edmonton and Calgary moving to the Central Division. It didn't make sense for Canadian TV to leave Vancouver hanging there all alone. I'm not surprised by that. I thought that, you know, the one team that made the most sense to move to the Central Division would be the Coyotes, because they don't seem to really have a rivalry with anybody. Right now that's just a franchise that continues to appear just to be lost in a vortex of uncertainty. And so, you know, throwing them in another division, I think, impacts them the least amount of any other team. So I'm not surprised by that. You know, they delayed their entry into the National Hockey League because they just weren't sure the building and the renovations are going to be ready in time. So it makes sense to delay it a year rather than rush it and, you know, have little issues that pop up. But what it does mean is with the expansion rules going to be the exact same as they were the last time. And in a few years, you're going to lose a potential young player. And what it also means is another team's coming into the West, and another team's going to be built in the West, like Vegas, with basically the fourth best player from every team in the East coming over to the West mm-hmm. as well. So, I saw it coming. I mean, we all knew that at some point it was coming. The league wanted to get there. The league has wanted that market for a while. They've got an ownership group, and I think it'll be pretty exciting, actually, for the NHL.
Curbs, the Blues play five of the next six at home, if memory serves correctly, and then we'll take off on a West Coast swing prior to Christmas. While I've been one to say, let's just sit back and wait, there's a lot of games to be played, I'm pretty much under the belief that we will know by Christmas whether or not this hockey team has any legit hopes of postseason play. Is that still too soon to make that assessment?
No, I think that's a pretty fair assessment, because except for the upcoming game against the Florida Panthers, all those games are against Western Conference teams. And so you've got to make some hay in there. At absolute worst, you've got to get yourself back to 500, which requires you playing, you know, what four games over 500, you know, over those 10 games. So, I mean, so put that into perspective. I mean, that's a, you know, that's not an easy stretch of 10 games to be able to do so. But I think you got to get yourself to with that 500 or within one of it to have a chance here, because it takes 10 games over 500 to make the National Hockey League. This is a very critical stretch for this hockey team, without a doubt.
Curbs, any insight on what the gelling of the new guys? Last question before we let you go here. But we saw Jordan Kyra early. He went back down to San Antonio, started playing better. Any idea on – I saw the lines were changed. Tarasenko was down on the third line, as was Pat Maroon, who switched around quite a bit. Any insight on what we may see on Wednesday?
Well, no, I think because you're bringing those guys up and you're going to insert them, I think Craig Berube does have a little more room for some accountability on the ice. So if you take some dumb penalties in the offensive zone, if you're not doing what he's asking you to do, if you're not doing what you need to do, and you're not playing your role, then he's got the ability to put some guys down. I don't know if it's fair to expect much out of Jordan Kyra. Same thing with Robert Thomas. As much as we'd like to see it, you just never know what you're going to get when somebody's playing in their first year, unless they really kind of catch it and light it on fire. And so, it's a best player league. Your best players have to be your best players. And then right now the St. Louis Blues are missing a guy that should be their best defenseman in Petrangelo. And they're missing one of their smartest and most veteran, you know, savvy players in Alexander Steen. and they're missing Jaden Schwartz, but you still have Braden Shen, and you still have David Perron, and you still have Vladimir Tarasenko, and you still have Pat Maroon, and you still have Tyler Bozak. I mean, that's a three-year deal at $5 million per for Tyler Bozak. You know, you still have Edmondson, you still have Parayko and Jake Allen. You've got enough players that you should be a lot more competitive than that last game showed. And to me, it's up to those guys to help win some hockey games and bring those young guys along. If you're relying on the young guys to do it, you don't win consistently in the National Hockey League. It's just that simple.
Good stuff, Curves. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Have a great day. Have a great week.
Thank you, Chris.
Man. Enjoy the snow. Enjoy the snow. That is the voice, the play-by-play man of your St. Louis Blues. He does the radio broadcast on Camel X, does a really good job, and gives us a lot of really good insight here.
And you can hear the game tomorrow night on Camel X.
Yep, there you go. Don't miss that. I very much enjoy listening to Chris Kerber call the game. Joey Vitale, both of them do a very good job. I think basically what all you guys said was very fair. Little expectations, but excited to see the young guys because you have no idea what you're going to get night in and night out from a Robert Thomas or a Jordan Kyrou. But what's frustrating is sort of what he said at the end there, and that was it is nice having the option with a bunch of young guys to then move a Tarasenko down to the third line, but also how frustrating is it that that's what we're talking about right now?
I think for me, I just look at it as opportunity. Guys are hurt. That sucks. But you just can't say we're folding up the tents. And if this is an opportunity for prospects to move from the prospect list to full-time NHL player list, it's up to them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't – either they're legit or we've all believed the hype that it's fake.
Yeah.
So this is the time. This is the time right now. Are you legit? Are you an NHL player? Or are you just a guy that, you know, we've been talking about and we're hopeful for and you're not a legitimate guy? Now is the time, right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. And some of these guys, I mean, how much longer is Steen going to be around? Seriously.
Well.
His body's wearing down.
Well, with another concussion.
He's looking 35 in the eye.
The concussions are, that's a really scary thing anyway.
You know, so, I mean, it's time. I really am intrigued to see a guy like Nolan, you know. Called a guy who lives down in San Antonio who's actually seen him play, and I was intrigued with what he said. You know, he said, don't be expecting 20 goals, but be expecting a guy who creates some havoc. And you know what? In the sport of hockey, as Curbs mentioned with Dallas's fourth line, we've seen it before.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Chicago won their first Stanley Cup with a fourth line that just utterly dominated the playoffs.
And here's the other thing. When you talk about young guys, and sometimes, and it happens in all the sports that we cover, and if we have a particular sport that we're into and we're one of the reporters, we'll get caught up in the hype. Oh, this next prospect, this next guy. Well, you know, and Chris was hedging a little bit, appropriately so. You know, you can't win with young guys, but individually, each young guy's got to show they belong.
Right.
And Kyrou, we've been hearing this. Hey, are you the real deal, or is this fake news? It's time to find out.
It was either Kitchener Hitchcock who told
Kitchener Hitch?
Exactly. Who told me something along that line that just basically said, hey, if these guys just come up and they win their individual battles, the team will win the game.
And Chris Butler's really exciting because not only did he play really well in a very small sample size, and it's not like he's a 23-year-old second-round pick. You know, he's a guy who's been toiling in the A for a long time. But if everything we're talking about is the biggest problem on the defense, especially this team, was just effort, we know for damn sure that that's not going to be an issue with a guy like Chris Butler. And at least we can take that to the bank, that he's going to be out there giving it, you know, working his ass off to try to make this one time, because this is a guy who deserved to be up here after those first couple games, who's a St. Louis native, who all he wants to do is just play for his hometown team, and now he's getting maybe the best chance he's ever gotten in his career. That's just a good story for me.
And one thing I did forget to mention to you a couple weeks ago, Bob, was that I had a longtime hockey fan point out something that I never really thought when it came to the backup goalie, Chad Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Saskatoon. He was posing the question as whether or not Chad Johnson came here specifically to submarine this team in lieu of the fact that St. Louis did not move to Saskatoon in the 80s. I'm just saying.
That's a deep conspiracy, but okay.
I'm just saying.
He didn't say he believed it.
night.
But he didn't say he didn't.
He was hype. He's considering.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, it's in St. Louis, what we've gotten to look forward to, and I brought this up with Curbs last time we talked, is a good season minimally and occasionally a run in the playoffs, but always a good season. For 25 years, a good enough season. Because in hockey, a good season, you just got to be slightly below average and you make the playoffs. Not anymore, thanks to Seattle. You can be average.
No, you can be average.
But for years, just and it wasn't just that. I mean, under Ken Hitchcock, they were the best regular season team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could always look forward to that. And we're sitting here, and it's snowing giant flakes outside. And all we can talk about is, well, at least we know we're going to get some hustle out of this guy. I mean, what a place to be.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. Do you want me to go into my rant about how tanking's good every once in a while? Do you really want me to talk about how this team needs to win 20 games?
We want the Blues.
We really don't want to hear your thoughts. No.
That's true. I'm just saying there's nothing. I mean, when you're this bad.
No, that's exactly. I'm not. Look, Rock, this is not a.
Apparently, Rock, you didn't hear what Ramsey said.
This is not a dig at you, Rock. This is a dig at the Blues, and it's a dig at the Blues players. That's who it is, because Blues management on paper did everything they could have done.
And ownership. I emphasize ownership, because the thing that will break my heart is people stop showing up down there.
Yeah.
Because this is
owner break their wallet.
Yeah.
They need it. Unlike the NFL, certainly you don't want to turn down money that's laying there for you. But the NFL, you don't need the attendance.
Oh, you don't think mm-hmm. you think $14 billion in a year in revenue will take care of somebody?
I think it eases the pain.
Well, you don't know.
And while I certainly
$14 million doesn't go as far doesn't go as far as it used to.
I certainly won't disrespect the DeWitts, because I have a great deal of respect for Senior, who's actually the third. But anyhow,
you just confused me.
I thought Senior was the second.
No, Junior is the third one. But anyhow.
But he's not really
Wait, you just said Senior was the third.
It's just really messed up. But anyhow,
apparently,
if anybody really had a time to spend, with all due respect, with old man DeWitt, and saying old man DeWitt in a very respectful manner,
right,
they would come to find out this guy knows baseball. He legitimately knows baseball.
Yeah, well, he's been in it his whole life, two generations, three now.
But we sit here and we talk about the Cardinals not spending money. When it comes to the St. Louis Blues, have they had a disappointing open of the season unequivocally? Have some of these players lacked the effort that you would imagine you'd get unequivocally? But the fact of the matter is, there's no questioning whether or not this ownership group has spent money. The fact is, they probably spent too much money on this team.
Yeah.
So for the city to turn their back on the owner would be a very tough situation. So all I'm saying is, I understand your angst. I understand you spend a lot of money to go to a Blues game. But if there's one time in my life, 58 years, I'm going to say support an owner, it's going to be this time.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough call, because when we talk about how do you define good fans, well, in some places, and usually it's pretty self-serving on the topic, but in some places it's they're discerning. And if you put out a good product, they'll be there. In other places, no matter how good you are, fans come out. Right. And then somebody say, well, that's not very bright, because then there's no incentive for the team to get better. So there's no easy answer to that. And if a fan, it costs a lot to go to a game.
It does.
And so if a fan says, the product's not good enough, I can't afford it, or I choose not to afford it because it's a substandard product, how do you argue with that? By the same token, you don't want this owner, who's literally poured everything he's got into the franchise, to go belly up because he's not getting performance out of players. It's a tough spot for fans to be in.
Oh, yeah. And I'm by no means, you never heard me question.
Right.
I'm just saying, I'm asking. Hockey fans, just don't.
That's fair.
Don't turn your back on the team this year, because this guy did everything humanly possible to put this team in a position to make a deep run into the playoffs. And it's the players. You want to boo the players? Boo the hell out of them. Because ultimately, they're the ones responsible.
Buy a beer and a hot dog while you do it.
Buy a beer and a hot dog and then enjoy the game.
And, you know, I think you nailed it with your analysis of the conundrum you have for showing up anyway for the bad product.
Wow.
However,
this is a family show. You will not use that kind of language on this air.
However, that is not even a remote concern as it relates to Tom Stillman in this group. that I think that as we sit here, they are as stunned and appalled as the rest of us.
Yeah, so this was not expected by anybody.
Whether the Blues sell out every game the rest of the year or not, big changes are coming. So I think you nailed it for a general, like a team that, and it's a little bit different, honestly, but a team that you can see what you were talking about and why it would be an issue, the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers don't spend any money because they've had Aaron Rodgers there. Mm-hmm. And they just, in fact, they've unloaded some of their good players. Ha ha, Clinton Dix, one of the best safeties in the league. They unloaded him at the deadline. So
funny about that.
Thank you, John. So
need a rim shot there if you don't mind, Rock. Never mind.
Rock, get on it.
Timing.
Solomon. Anyway, point is, that's one of those deals, right? The Buffalo Bills have been god-awful for 5,000 years, and mm-hmm. they sell out every game like it's the Super Bowl. And that's true in, you know, you probably go up in, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I assume if you go up to the Toronto, and the Maple Leafs are probably selling out pretty well up there up in Canada. So that is a conundrum. I just don't think it is here. In St. Louis, you could sell out with the Blues, and if they don't put a good product on the floor, this ownership group are as pissed as we are.
They're pissed, but they literally need the attendance more than some other places. That was my point, that they care and they're mad and they're going to try and fix it, and we know they will, but the issue is that when you don't show, it hammers their budget.
Yeah.
And so it's a tough spot for a fan to be in.
Right. I think that's well said. We've discussed that over the last couple of years. I think Tom Stillman's perspective, you nailed it. Please keep on showing up. But I'll tell you what, you talked to some...
Know that we'll do our best to give you a better product. Yeah.
Right. Because there's just very little, I think, that can be said for what's happening on the ice on a nightly basis where, you know, Colton Parayko wins one in OT in spectacular fashion against a good team, and then you lose by 5 goals the next night. You just don't... You got nothing to say. There's no justification for that type of inconsistency, and it's happened the entire season.
Well, and it's a team too that makes it very easy to be proven correct with criticism, because Parayko showed with that one goal the ability that we've said he has.
Yep.
To be seen. Mm-hmm. Just how often do you see it?
Well, you know, you'll see it at any level when somebody does something. You go, see, you just messed up by showing me that. Because I know what you're capable of, and I'm going to push you until you give it to me every day.
So I mean, when I'm sitting there talking about Parayko has the ability to be one of the 20, 25 best defensemen in the league, he's shown at times why and how. He just doesn't do it with any regularity.
I was watching, after we talked about that the other day, I was watching him closely, and maybe this is just a one-game type thing, and I realize style of play changes sometimes based on your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
However, one thing that it appears he likes to do that just infuriates me, and I know there's a time and place for it, but every single time, instead of hitting anybody, he just steers them out of the way.
Right.
Routinely. I'll just steer you this way. I'll steer
because
you off the puck.
He's got the reach, and he's got the speed and strength. He can do that. The question is, should you always do that? You know in football more than anything, but hockey's the same way. Intimidation and physicality is a part of the game.
Absolutely.
You know, every time you go across the middle, that son of a gun over there, you're going to get drilled.
Mm-hmm.
And in hockey, you don't have to do it every time. You don't want to take stupid penalties or anything. But sometimes
one out of 50 would be fine for him.
You got to play your size.
Right.
You got to play your size.
Right. And again, there's 57 games left. Right now, the Blues are 12 games out of the first wild card spot, or 12 points out of the first wild card spot. But they have 3 games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, theoretically, the Blues are 6 points out of the first wild card spot.
Right. 6 games, yeah.
6 games with 57 games to go. So I'm not saying that it's likely, but I'm certainly pointing out it's not even remotely impossible.
Correct.
If this team plays up to their ability. That's it.
Agreed.
You usually have these. I'm sure you could find it. I think I read something that it would be historically unlikely at this point
to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I still think it's doable.
Oh, you guys are absolutely right. I think the premise
but
there
to see a team turn around,
bingo.
we don't have the precedent.
That's
for that.
It right there.
Yeah.
That's it. When you're this bad for this long, and then if you add on this banged up, good luck. I mean, you guys lost two guys already till after Christmas.
But here's what I would try to pose to people. How good did you think the team could be? Did you think you were as good as Nashville or Winnipeg? Well, you thought you're going to be right there with them. Maybe not ahead of them, but, you know, right there with them. If they get 110 points, you got 107 or whatever the number is. You thought you were going to be right there with them. If you play to that level, assuming reasonable health by, say, Christmas, is that enough time to make the playoffs? I think it is. Now, if you knew going in, we don't have any talent. We're bad. And then to say, can they play better? Well, that's not reasonable. I think it's reasonable to ask this team to play to their standards, not over their heads, but to their play to the mean, play to where they should be.
The argument to that would be that this was a new team and that was only in projection. We've never actually seen it.
No, we haven't. We've only seen the individuals projected, and then you put that projection onto paper
right.
as a collection, and we know teams don't work by metrics.
Right, and yeah. I guess in your defense here, too, it would be, yes, we have seen it. Take out game 3, 9, 18. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you strung all those
together,
moments. The second game against Nashville on the back-to-back, the game up in Toronto, you know, the game against Colorado out in Denver there. Like, you do have those games where you're like, they're playing against Denver. They were playing against one of the best lines in all of hockey in overtime and 3-on-3 to the point where they had to throw a second defenseman out there, and they found a way to win. That's the kind of resiliency
mm-hmm.
I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Colton Parayko says, okay, well, there's not another guy out here that can do it, so I'll just take it down. I'll handle this.
Well, if you thought that the Blues were a 100-point team going in, and there were a lot of people who thought they had the potential to be a 100-point team.
I thought so.
If the Blues play at that same rate, which is right around about a 6-10 winning percentage, they can still wind up with 92 points.
Wow.
92 points may get you in the playoffs if you still
play
at that rate.
You're pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a list right now through 2014.
Is your mic on?
I'm looking at a list right now of 2014, the seven biggest comebacks from NHL. Now, these all mark from the midpoint season, but to John's point, four of the biggest comebacks, the team makes the playoffs as a seventh seed with around 93, 94 points in a couple of these instances. So if they're around 40 points at the midway mark, that would put them in line with
some of the best,
the five or six biggest in season turnarounds to make the playoffs.
Hey,
and right now they have 21 through 25 games, 41 through 41 games is essentially the pace we're talking about for them to be in
right,
that kind of line.
Right.
So if they're better than that, we're talking better than a historical turnaround.
Well, if you look at Dallas right now, let's see, 28 games. If you look at Dallas right now, and you can follow me on this calculation.
Rock, get your calculator out. Hurry up.
Yeah, 33 through 28.
All right. So they have 33 points through 28 games, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Got that, Rock?
Real quick. 33 points, so 28 games is 56. All right, times 82.
That didn't work.
What the?
I came up with 48.
What the hell just happened there? This is the greatest phone I've ever had, and it just has a bad calculator. All right, so 28
yeah, it's
points.
The calculator.
28 points, right?
33 points through 28 games.
33 points divided by 56.
They're playing at a 96
times.
They're playing at a 97 win pace.
82.
97-point pace.
Yeah, so 48. So, times yeah, 97 two. Points.
So you just went, you didn't
the
go
The Dallas
steps.
Stars are.
Yeah, so they're playing at a 96.7 pace, but 97-point pace is essentially what the Dallas Stars are playing at right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, which means.
And they're only two games over 500.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's not as though some of these teams are playing so outrageously that they can't be caught. It's just, you just have so little room for error.
Right.
You essentially have to pull, I did the math when they were at 20 games, you have to pull like 12 points out of every 10 games, which is essentially like going 5-3-2 every 10 games.
Yeah.
Okay, do that then. And by the way, I don't think there's anybody that would tell you they don't have the talent to do that if they really got on a roll. Because this team is significantly more talented than the team Mike Yeo took over for 2 years ago when they went on a crazy run. What was that run exactly towards the end of the year when he took over towards to the end of the season? In fact, you can even take it into the next season because they started out number one in the Central Division through, what, the end of November last year. See if you can do that calculation for me, Rock.
Just based off how Jake Allen's not playing terribly this year, but just based off how good he was playing then,
playing very well. I know we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah,
but
at that point, is this team actually that much better than the team Yo took over? Because the team that Yo took over, Jake Allen snapped in quick. And they had a healthy Petrangelo who was playing well, Vladimir Tarasenko who was playing better. James Schwartz was playing much better.
You're basing it on one guy. Talent-wise, yes.
I just based off four guys. I just named five guys.
You said Jake Allen snapped right in.
Yeah, and then I also said, but you had a much better Petrangelo, a much better Jaden Schwartz, and a better Vladimir Tarasenko, that version of Yo's team.
Well, you have two guys that are hurt right now, and we're talking about basically what they're going to have to do when they come back here. And you also have a Ryan O'Reilly that's playing significantly better than anybody you had on the roster at the time. You have a Braden Schenn who wasn't on the team at that time.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a much more talented team. Let me tell you about the brewery life before you go on.
You can make a case for Ryan O'Reilly right now as one of the top 10 forwards in the league.
Yes.
He's really terrific.
Ryan O'Reilly should go down to the Brewery Lights with us, guys. It would not be the holiday season without the lights. The Brewery Lights at historic Anheuser-Busch featuring two new activities for the kids this year. Nightly screenings of Frosty the Snowman on outside movie screen in the Kids Zone featuring the Brewery Lights Express Train. All aboard for family fun. Added over a million lights, the tradition of the Budweiser Clydesdale roasting s'mores on an outdoor ice skating rink under the glow of the Budweiser sign. And it is holiday tradition unlike any other. Come for the free walking tours and stay for all the festivities every Thursday to Sunday, November 15th through December 30th. Brewery Lights Anheuser-Busch, where holiday magic is always brewing. For more information, visit brewerylights.com. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Lager Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Rock, I do think this is a – I don't know that you would dispute that. The talent-wise is not necessarily how you're playing either, so I think we're having different conversations. Petrangelo is not less talented today than he was 2 years ago. Jaden Schwartz is not less talented today than he was 2 years ago. Neither of those guys are playing
as well.
Right.
But
tomorrow, would you be surprised if they came back? No, because their talent level is exactly the same as it was. You could make an argument that Jaden Schwartz has been banged up enough that his talent just doesn't have the same ceiling. You could make that argument. I don't think you can for Petro.
I agree.
Rock, are you doing math?
Because he's not at the point where age should be a factor either.
But he has triplets, so yes, he is.
Soundproof your room,
that's
man.
That's an excellent call.
I don't know if you've ever had triplets, but you age by years of three after that.
I have three kids, and if they were all the same age, I wouldn't be here. I'd be pushing up daisies.
Like, think about
it. It'd been over.
You're a dad. You guys are both dads.
Yeah. Rock might be. We don't know.
Two mostly legitimate kids, I think.
Mostly.
And, you know, you get older significantly faster. And now multiply that times three. So instead of, how old is Petro right now?
28.
20, all right.
Is that right?
So next year he's 31. Year after that he's going to be 34. Year after that he's pretty soon. I mean, he's going to be out of the league in the next 5 years here. It's because he's going to be in his mid-40s because that's what happens when you have triplets.
He turns 29 early January.
Okay.
So across Mike Yeo's first 60 games, he went roughly 60 games, I should say, more like 50 games. 39-14-3.
Is that the that's better
than
the pace.
I mean, I'm just saying that was the end of his first season in that first month of last year.
Of last year.
Yeah,
that's 39-14-3. Pace, right?
That's
definitely President Cup pace, and since then it's been first pick of the draft.
That'd be 81 points in 60 games.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
You're well over 100 points there. So there you go. Right, with a team that I think we would all agree has significantly less talent than the one they can put on the ice if they're fully healthy and guys are focused.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not out of the question, but it doesn't look good.
Somebody's got to show that they're willing to do what it takes to achieve.
You could start with your captain not getting his face pushed in the ice.
I don't know.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
I just can't never remember sitting down, tuning on the game and thinking to myself, come on, boys, just not again. I can never remember thinking that way about the Blues. And it's almost as though I'm just hoping they don't suck.
You know, you're right.
You know what I'm trying to say about it?
You know, I know you're right, and when I watch a game, it seems like the trend, give me a snapshot on the ice of what you see with this team the first 2 months. And I see defensemen with their back to the puck and somebody scoring.
Yep.
To me, that is that moment that has happened multiple times is a microcosm of the team. Here's a guy wide open. He's shooting into the net. the goalie is, whichever one is flailing, trying to get there, and you look, you widen the picture, and you see one or two defensemen, their back is even to the, they don't even see the goal. Their back's to the play. And that is, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening.
No question.
How do you want to do this, Heads?
What?
Well, I tried to go to break a couple times.
Quick out, quick back. And then goodbye.
Quick out, quick back.
We have two breaks left?
Yeah, we got plenty of time to do what we need to do. Quick out, quick in, quick out.
We're all wondering why you haven't gone to break.
Rock, go to break.
Go to break, jeez.
Come on, man.